Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Daniel chapter 7, verses 15 through 22, titled Antichrist War with the Saints. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 7, verses 15 through 22, titled Antichrist War with the Saints. This is part 1 of 2. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Beginning in verse 15. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We just pray you help us to see what you want us to see. This book written, in this case, 2,500 years ago. And it reads like yesterday and today and tomorrow's newspaper. And Lord, help us to glean what we should as a body, but also as individuals. Thank you for giving us this information, the future. And we just ask your help with the Holy Spirit as our teacher and our guide. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. The book of Daniel is all about, well, not all about, but we've talked about how the first half of the book is history with some prophecy. Now, beginning of chapter 7, we're into prophecy with some history. And this little snippet that I have here is from a chick track. And the title of the message, we're going to title our study of Daniel 7, 15 through 22, Antichrist War with the Saints. And it shows a lady looking and saying, "Guards, there's one without a mark. He was trying to buy food." And some old lady says, "The fool." And the cop says, "I've got him." And the next thing you know, they're pulling up this mobile guillotine to cut his head off. And it says, "Hey, let's watch. They've caught another one." And they reference Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Martyrdom is now the price of salvation. And we'll come back to those references in our study. But the spirit of Antichrist is already at war with the saints. How many of you knew that? If you don't know that, you certainly weren't watching the news this week. But we do have to thank God for a reprieve, as Mariah mentioned. This is the one-year anniversary that Hillary is not our president. And we do. I posted this prayer in response to that occasion. "We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy mercy, and we pray Your continual blessings as real Christians and God-fearing Americans fight the cancer of liberalism in our midst. Grant us strength and grace for the battle until You return for us and take us home. Bless our president as he stands for our nation and for our individual freedoms against the Orwellian onslaught of the political cults of liberalism and progressivism. We ask for justice for the crooked Clinton family and all involved in their schemes. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen." And I mean every word of that. If they don't put Hillary in prison, and Bill right behind her, there is no real justice on the federal level, and there's no equal justice.
Amen.
There's certain people who they will put in jail, and then there's certain who they won't. Can you save it to the end, or is that what we have to do now?
Just a quick question. That picture, so that's the picture of people reacting?
Yes, that's 1 year ago today, and that's actually tame compared to the way some of them reacted when they found out Hillary lost. What's neat, kind of, if you look up there, the guy in the red shirt, his shirt says "Love Trump's hate," but the only thing you can see is "Love Trump." But in all seriousness, Satan is on the loose, not loosed, and at war with the saints. And this is in reference to the shooting that we all know about from this week.
It's haunting video of the mom who made the ultimate sacrifice. Joanne Ward and her four children can be seen taking their seats at First Baptist Church. The video from last week's service shows 5-year-old Brooke Ward running happily up and down the aisles. She also posed on the preacher's motorcycle. 1 week later, she was among the 26 people killed in the church massacre. So was her big sister, Emily. Their mom, Joanne, lost her life as she tried to shield the children from the gunshots. Thanks to her bravery, two of the four kids survived. 9-year-old Rihanna suffered barely a scratch. 5-year-old Ryland was shot 4 times and is fighting for his life at a local hospital. Their grandmother, Sandy Ward.
Rihanna said her mother, Joanne, threw her body over Ryland, Brooke, and Emily. She was very giving, loving person.
Another family, the Holcombs, is mourning the loss of 8 family members across 3 generations.
Thank you for this family, Lord.
Brian Holcomb was filling in as pastor. He and his wife, Carla, were high school sweethearts, married 40 years. Also gone, their son, Danny, and Danny's 18-month-old daughter, Noah. Crystal Holcomb was 8 months pregnant. Her unborn child died, along with 3 of her 5 children. And survivors are speaking out, revealing the gunman's chilling words as he opened fire. Everybody dies.
He was looking all around and shooting at everybody, just going through the rows, shooting at everybody.
Roseanne Solis escaped with a gunshot wound to her shoulder. She says she played dead to survive. The two heroes who banded together to stop the shooter hugged each other at a vigil last night in Sutherland Springs.
So that's just one example. There was a shooting in Tennessee a couple weeks ago, and because there was I have no idea what that is. Thank you very much. There's another shooting, as I said, in Tennessee last week. And an armed individual stopped that with only, what was it, a couple of people got shot in that one? Or the one in Tennessee. Do you remember, you know what I'm talking about? The Somalian, I think, was the fellow who went in shooting. And there was a armed... And I'm not going to go into detail right now, but I just want you to rest assured that for years now, you have been protected by armed security here at Bible Believers Fellowship.
Amen.
And I want you to understand that we're not going around advertising it, but our folks that are watching online, I don't have a problem sharing this with them, that if someone comes in and starts shooting up this place, you either pull your gun and shoot with an upward trajectory so you don't hurt anybody else, or you get under the pew. That's you. If you're not armed, get down. Because if I'm not the first one they shot, I'm unloading and reloading, and he's going to be shot 14 times from the pulpit. And there are several others, and we're not going to identify everybody else. But I feel comfortable telling you that, because I think if someone come in here shooting, they'd probably shoot me first. So there you go. We have discussed it informally with those who carry. If you decide to carry, the only thing I ask is that you let me know. I like to know who is going to be shooting. And those of us who have been carrying here, those of us who are protecting you, we're licensed, we're legal, and we're trained. And so that's important. Don't just pick up a gun and think you're going to be Rambo. But I do encourage, and I'm not saying anything about what happened in Texas. I don't know all the information, but I think it is absolutely a derelict of your duty as a man to not have armed protection. And I know a lot of professing Christians, and some that I respect otherwise, who have chosen not to be armed. Now, I told Mark, you know, he's out there all by himself. That's one thing. But when you have a family, One of the things I appreciate about the young men in our home is that they're armed and ready to protect their women, their children. And so that's all I'm going to say about that. But when the Antichrist shows up, what you saw in Texas is going to happen thousands of times over.
I think it's only going to get worse.
That's what my point is. And there'll be no reprieves. There's not going to be an election. The Antichrist comes. All hell is going to break loose. And if you're saved, you missed that. I don't care whether you believe it or not. The rapture happens before that, and you get to miss out on that. But if you're not saved, you're a fool. Amen. If you're not saved, you are going into the darkest age of human history.
Amen.
And as we were reminded previously of how Jesus wins in the end, we must also face the truth of the terror of Antichrist rule. Daniel 7:15 is where we're going to start. Just ask you to go ahead and read that first verse with me. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Now, that is building on what we've already seen, but you have to understand Daniel is talking about what he's seen, and he's seen the whole thing. We're now getting it from him in this book, this letter, where he is describing what he saw. But he's already seen that. He's already seen this whole thing, what we're going to read. And look what it did to him. The darkness of Antichrist's rule grieves Daniel. In the midst of my body, the visions of my head troubled me. He says, well, up above that, grieved in my spirit. That's a heavy toll that it's taken on. It makes Daniel emotionally and physically sick. Emotionally and physically sick. Now, how many dreams or visions you ever had that did that to you? This is to tell you a little bit about what we're going to find out as we study, not only in Daniel 7, but in other places. Christians today, even though there's books and videos and all that, I talk to Christians today and they seem to have no real concept of how ugly it's going to get. Part of the problem is, even though I'm not bad-mouthing these guys who put out these movies and everything, but if they put out what it was really going to be like, they'd be rated X.
That's right. That's right.
The rape, the violence, the language, death, bloodshed, everything. It's going to be a time that is vile. And I don't mind them putting out the books and the movies. I just wish they would say, what you're about to see is a very sanitized version of the reality. We had to remove 10,000 incidents of rape a day in some cases in this. We're talking about in a world right now that we have that many rapes going on almost daily around the world today. And in this time, it's going to be worse. All the murder, just like it's going to go back like it was in Rome. They're just like that chick track show, they're going to be beheading people, and there's going to be a crowd cheering it on. And I think there's people right now that if you were to start doing that, they'd come out of the closet. They're liberals, and they try to act like they're not barbaric, but they don't have a problem with them chopping up little babies and throwing them in trash bags. And they cheer about it. They celebrate it. One woman said, you better get your abortions now while you can. Just the other day, one of these liberal actresses, they're sick. They're sick in the head, sick in the soul. And they're all going to come out during this time of tribulation. After rapture, they're going to all show their true colors. Read verse 16 now. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. So now we see Daniel standing among several angelic visitors. That's pretty neat to think about. He says, I came near unto one of them that stood by. And It's just a, you can only go so far with your imagination and picturing that. But it's neat to consider. And then verse 17 says, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. So now we have Scripture interpreting Scripture. I didn't get into this too much with Stephen. Asked about it after our last study, though. And you have the four beasts there. What are they? What are they? It says right there, four kings. So you know, there's no question about what the four beasts are. They're four kings. And then you have the reference to the sea back in verse 3. And now it says that they arise out of the earth. And I believe that clearly means it's the population of the earth. The sea and out of the earth is reference to the fact that they come out of the population, out of the masses of the earth. Verse 18 then, read that with me. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And so this little parenthesis here, another reminder, these guys don't win in the end. And you know what, folks? That's what I think, you know, as we're taking on the liberals now, and the progressives and the atheists and the Muslims and all the, you know, isms you want to throw in there that are anti-Christ, that are standing against righteousness, standing against the Word of God, and it can get aggravating. Because they just like yesterday, the election. It was a Democrat state filled with felons who can vote, immigrants, some illegal, and socialists. Virginia's gone, folks. I mean, you got places like Lynchburg, Liberty University, and some places like that that are little lights shining the gospel, you know. But the state of Virginia is gone. And so they elect a Democrat governor, and all the people in the news media are like, oh, the tide is turning against Trump. We're going to take America back for the devil. That's what they want to do. Yeah. It's like, you know, you're celebrating your own state that you own, literally. You had a governor who's a liberal, McAuliffe, who couldn't run anymore. And you had one of the worst candidates that they've run for governor there for in a couple of decades. And he beat a guy named Gillespie who was not even, he's a rhino. And he tried to play act like he supported Trump. He didn't support Trump. And so people didn't come out and vote for him. And so they act like this is some big victory yesterday for the liberals. It's aggravating. But you know what happens if they do get, you know, everybody gets off? Because, you know, when Obama came on, I don't know, some of you probably aren't even old enough to. Do you remember Jenny, Johnny, Olivia, Steve, some of you youngins? Charlie, I know he knows. I know he knew at least a little bit of what was going on because I talked to him. 2007, 2008. Do you guys remember what it was like when Obama came on the scene? Yeah. I mean, you were.
I voted against.
You did vote against. Good for you. Amen.
People
flipped their gourd over that guy. First black president, even though he's a half-breed. First black president, his mom's as white as any of us that are white. But it was a celebration that he's the first black president. Okay, well, you know what? If he's got the stuff, I'd vote for him. I don't care if you're purple. If you stand for the right things, I'm voting for you. The problem was, not only did this guy not know the right things, they sealed his records so that you couldn't know anything about him. And all these zombie liberals were like, Obama. I mean, it was just like zombies. We were right over here too. What? I didn't hear it.
She said Obama. I'll speak her when we get
home. Two streets over, we had people who had windows like this big, and they put a big, huge picture of Obama.
Oh, man.
And they had all the bumper stickers and yard signs. I mean, it was just crazy. And I'd ask them. They would come to the door like Jehovah's Witnesses. And I'd say, what do you know about this guy? You think he's a good-looking black dude and he's only half black. And I don't think he's that. He had ears like Dumbo. I mean, he wasn't that great-looking guy that they tried to paint him up to be. I mean, he's better looking than me, but that's not saying anything. And I said, what do you know about the guy? They didn't know anything about him. Most of them didn't even know he was a senator from Illinois. And I don't think Illinois knew it, because he didn't do anything. And it just showed to me, man, this world is ripe and ready for the Antichrist. You elect a man to the most powerful office in the land, and you don't know anything about him. You've sealed his records, and what you do know about him is he's a follower of Saul Alinsky, who dedicates his book to Lucifer. And that's who you got as president for 8 years, and it showed, amen? Well, as aggravated as those 8 years were, I'm going to tell you what, I just kept telling myself, they're not going to win in the end. In the end, they lose. And so I was able to survive it without going crazy. But before we see that victory in verse 18, with the saints of the Most High take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever, before the crown there is a cross to bear. And so verse 19 tells us, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. That's quite a description there, isn't it? This man of sin is going to make Hitler look tame. And if you don't know what that means, that's why you need to learn history. If you learn history, you learn about Hitler. I was telling Jenny, you know, people just don't have any idea what it was like under Hitler. They've seen Schindler's List or watched a Holocaust movie. I'm telling you, that's horrible. And that's about a tenth. It was so bad that when the Nazis would march through a place, like when they went through Czechoslovakia, they'd rape the women, they'd gang rape them, and they'd rape them over and over and over, and that's all of them, prepubescent, on up to old ladies. And the women would go mad, and they would, if they had children, there were pictures they actually took, the women would grab their children when they were able to get away, and they would run out into a river, drown their own children, and then suck in water and drown themselves. Because they were desperate to get away from the abuse. And Americans can go home and watch Friday the 13th and Halloween movies, but they, oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that stuff. That's just ugly. Man, that's what real human beings went through, and we're getting ready to see a time that's worse. Doug?
When the church leaves, we are
wrapped. All right, you're going ahead of my, I'm getting to that. If you want to see a taste of this in the past, also study the Inquisitions, the Crusades, and papal persecutions. And most people, Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, atheist, don't matter, I talk to them, very few people. I easily say less than 5% of the human beings I've ever talked to have any clue how wicked Rome has been and how wicked and murderous the Pope has been throughout the centuries.
Amen.
Very few people know. And you can find out, you can buy this book. These books are online. And one's called History of the Waldenses by J.A. Wiley. I didn't add one here, but Mariah, when she was a young lady, read a book. It was renamed. That's why they call us Baptists. What was the original name, remember?
In Edith's Days.
In Edith's Days. It was a fictional historical novel, I think they call it, right?
Yeah, it's
based on a true story. But anyway, that told the story. But this is similar. There's this book called The Pilgrim Church by E.H. Broadbent. It's about that thick details this. And then there's a smaller book that we've given away. How many of you have not got a copy of this yet? Okay, and Doug, I don't think you said you had a copy, do you? Anybody else not have a copy? Okay, so I got 5 on order, so when they get here, you'll get a copy. But it's called The Trail of Blood, and every Christian should read that book. But a lot of Christians have been taught not to believe what's in it. But the Great Tribulation will be worse than what you study in history. Keep that in mind. Every time you pick up a history book, you watch a documentary, anything about history, no matter how ugly it is, this time that we're talking about and reading about is going to be worse. That means any time you're reading about history, keep that in mind. So Jesus describes this time of persecution. Let's go over to Matthew 24. Keep your finger there in Daniel 7, but turn over to Matthew 24. Beginning in verse 15. And he tells us, he's talking about the same thing we're reading about in Daniel. In verse 15 he says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet." So there's no guesswork here. "Stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." Look what it says, verse 16. "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." See, this isn't talking about the church, it's talking about Israel. Verse 17. "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." Get out of Dodge. Now. Like a tornado coming down on you. "Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days." You have a baby, you never read that the same, do you? You know how difficult it is just to get that baby ready and breastfeed that baby and get that baby to church. Think about the Antichrist coming down to kill all of you. That's what it's saying. Woe unto people in that condition. Verse 20, "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." That's why it's not the church. It's Israel. Verse 21, read that with me. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Let that sink in right there. That's what I'm saying. When you read history, you watch documentaries, I don't care how ugly, and folks, it gets ugly. This is going to be worse. And I have a reference to Daniel 12:1, but we'll come back to that in another study. Back to Daniel 7, verses 20 and 21 says, "And of the 10 horns that were in his head," and we studied all this in Revelation, by the way, "and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows." Verse 21, "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." And we know that the saints here is talking, just like these are Old Testament saints in the 70th week of Daniel. You have to get your mind straight on this, because there are all kinds of goofballs and false teachers out there tripping people up because they're not grounded and settled in the truth. This is the 70th week of Daniel. We're going to find that out when we go into Daniel 9. We'll lay that out. The 70th week is the same as the 69 weeks. Whatever it was like under the 69 weeks kicks back in the 70th week. There was no church in the 69 weeks when Messiah was cut off. After that, the church came into existence. In the 70th week, there'll be no church. During the 69 weeks, it was law. You are not saved by the gospel of the grace of God. And in the 70th week, almost all the prophecy teachers totally get that wrong. I know I'm sound cocky and arrogant, but trust me, there are thousands of other preachers with two brain cells knocked together who know what I'm saying is true. That during the 70th week, you're not saved by saying the sinner's prayer any more than you're saved really now by that. You're saved right now by believing on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.